Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running up. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm laughing at the cup around over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm the Lord, I'm the Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny pan, food in a Dutch pan. I'm from the north, and the devil can't touch that. Yes, you can't forget that. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me for this study. We have been looking at the topic of your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. And tonight we're going to be continuing on studying the Word of God and understanding what our purpose is, the fact that God has great plans for your life, and the fact that God is going to restore some things in your life that the enemy thought that he could destroy you, that he could really do some very unkind things to you last year. But this is a brand new year, and God has great things in store for you. And so I want to encourage you to continue studying with me for the next few weeks with Your Life Has Purpose. Or you could say, my life has purpose, because we know that God ordained it so that you should live a peaceful and a prosperous life. So bow your head with me and let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We bless and lift up your holy name. I thank you, Lord God, for your sons and your daughters, God, that study the Word of God with me. I thank you, Lord, that you have opened up their understanding, Lord, to understand the things that you have written for our instruction in the Word of God. Lord, I thank you that even now you're leading and directing us. I thank you that even now that we're being healed, being set free, being delivered, God, I thank you for those under the hearing of my voice, oh God, that will receive your word, O God. Father, for when the Spirit of God speaks to us, we ought to hear and we ought to yield our bodies to you, O God. Father, O God, you've called us today to be light to those that need light. You've called us today, Lord, to encourage those that need encouragement. And I pray today that we would truly become vessels of honor, God, that you can use. And Lord, we just magnify your name for this another opportunity to fellowship together. Bless your people, I pray. And Father, I say thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dear friend, I thank you so much for studying with me. I want to look at the word purpose. The word purpose. The word purpose, if you look at Webster's Dictionary and Thesaurus, The word purpose actually means a desired goal, an intention, the use for which something is intended, purposeful, and the adjective for that can also be purposeless, but we are actually interested in the definition that says a desired goal or intention. So when a person understands that their life has purpose, what you're actually saying is that I understand that God has an intention for my life. I understand that God has a goal for my life. I understand that I'm not just living senselessly on this earth, but that there is actually a direction that my life is headed in. When you understand that your life has purpose, you understand that God created you to do something. He didn't create you to just waltz through life and just wake up, you know, and not know what your gifts are and what God can use you to do, but He created you to understand why you're here. And I believe that many folks over the years have questioned God, especially when tragedies occur in their lives. They have questioned God as to why they were here on this earth. And sometimes there is an answer for that as far as why the tragedy occurred. You know, sometimes there is an answer in the sense of if the person lived a riotous, what the Bible refers to as a riotous life. In other words, they just did what they wanted to do and lived the type of life that put them in danger, you know, such as in selling drugs or you know, being out at 3 a.m. carrying guns and what have you. Then you could say, well, I sort of understand why that occurred, because this person deliberately put themselves in a situation where they would be in harm's way. But then when you have a young person who dies suddenly, or an older person who, you know, just leaves suddenly, sometimes it's hard to understand why these tragedies occur. And you might question God and say, why God, you know, why am I really here? And what is the purpose of all of this? And so I believe, you know, Job questioned God. If you remember when the tragedies happened in Job's life, he questioned God and he wanted to know what was the purpose of him living and why would God allow him to go through all of that? And so God had to let him know that sometimes, even though we live good, godly lives, God will allow us to go through some challenges. And so at the beginning of this new year, I want you to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And when you truly understand that, then it doesn't matter what you face in this coming year. We know that it's going to be a good year. We know that it's going to be a blessed year. But as you face this new year, you will be able to view things that happen with a different attitude when you understand that everything that happens, God has a purpose and a plan for it. We don't know why. Sometimes it's good things that happen to us and we can be overjoyed for months and months and months and just be so happy, you know, that God allowed these wonderful things to happen. And other times it might be something that, you know, we're not too happy about, such as the loss of a loved one or, you know, perhaps some other traumatic situation that happens in our personal lives. We might not fully comprehend why God would allow it to happen, but we can truly say, God, you know, I just thank you. I'm just grateful to you that I'm still able to throw up my hands and give you praise. I'm still able to throw up my hands and bless you. Why? Because I know that you have a purpose and a plan for my life, and I truly thank you for allowing me to understand what's going on. And even sometimes when I don't fully understand, help me to have the right attitude and just to give you thanks anyhow, because the Bible talks about being content in whatever state we find ourselves in, to be content with the situation, meaning I'm not happy about what's going on, but I still have peace in my heart. I still have joy in my heart. I still feel like going on. I don't know if you remember that old song that says, I feel like going on. I feel like going on. Though trials come on every hand, I feel like going on. Dear friend, I don't know what you will face in this new year. I don't know what kind of challenges you will come or what kind of stumbling blocks will be in front of you. But I know this, that even if there are blocks in the road, God will show you how to get around them. If there are blocks in the road, God will show you how to get over them. If there are blocks in the road, God will show you how to get under them. And so I want to encourage you, dear friend, don't get discouraged, but look at this year as a brand new beginning. God has given you the opportunity to start fresh. He is a God of new beginnings, and great things are in front of you. Everything that you know is in your past is in your past, and it needs to remain there. Whatever you have left behind, leave it there. Don't go back to it. Don't reminisce about it. Don't you know, lose any tears over it. Don't stay up all night thinking about it. Just keep in mind that it's behind you and your best years are in front of you. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just take a praise break right there. Lord, we bless you. We magnify your holy name. We thank you, Lord, that our best years are ahead of us. And Father, whatever the devil meant for our bad, God, you're turning it around for our good. And we thank you, Lord God, that our best years are still ahead of us, and God, that you have great things in store for us. You know, dear friend, if you want to partake in those good years that are ahead of you, then first and foremost, you must commit everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have a tendency to want God to do so much for us, but yet we forget that the most important thing is to acknowledge that we are God's creation, that we were created to worship him and to bless him. And so if we want to partake in the blessings that are ahead of us, that God has already ordained that we should prosper, that we should be in good health, if you want to participate in that blessing, you must first and foremost make God a priority in your life. You must first and foremost understand that God has good things in store for you, but you must obey his voice. You must dedicate yourself fully to him. Surrender your life to him and let him bless you. Dear friend, God wants to bless you right now. If you will look with me in Joel chapter 2, beginning at the 23rd verse, it says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. There's a songwriter that says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. You know, when I look at this scripture that Joel wrote, when I look at the scripture, it says, be glad then, be glad then. And, you know, we don't even have to know what the then is that's coming to appreciate the fact that the scripture is telling us to be glad. Why does God have to tell us to be glad? Dear friend, God has to tell us to be glad because sometimes we spend too much time focusing on things that do not encourage us, things that do not prosper us, things that cause us to be sad rather than to rejoice. And over again, the Bible tells us to rejoice. It tells us to be glad. It tells us to make ourselves merry in the Lord. In other words, God wants us to focus our attention on Him. And you see, when we focus our attention on God, the byproduct of a godly heart is going to be joy. It's going to be happiness. It's going to be peace. Because there's no way that we could truly be focused on God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning, the I am that I am. There's no way to focus on the one who created all things and be sad. Why? Because his very presence will give us joy. And so the Bible tells us to be glad. Why? Because a true child of God does not have any reason to be sad. We might have distractions occasionally. We might have things that cause us a little bit of upset, but it should only be a momentary thing that we are upset for a moment. But then afterwards, you know, we should be able to start thinking about Jesus and start thinking about the things of God, and our hearts should become merry again. Because the Bible gives us leave to get upset. It says, be angry and sin not. But notice it says, you know, don't sin. So in other words, when we are bothered by a certain situation, it should only cause us momentary pause. It should not be an elongated pause. In other words, it should not go on and on and on. We should be able to have a moment, you know, of distress because someone has, you know, we've allowed someone to upset us or a situation to upset us. But in that very moment, we should be able to just change our thoughts over to the things of God and start to rejoice in that whatever it is will not get us down. Whatever it is will not cause us to remain there because God himself is our joy. God himself is our peace. And the Bible says, be glad. Be glad. So let's look and see what we need to be glad about. He was, Joel was prophesying to the children of Israel. And we know that the Old Testament is our school teacher to teach us and to educate us about the things of God and the things that we need to know. So what were the children of Israel to be glad about? And what should we also be glad about? The Bible says, ye children of Zion, I'm in Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. What should we rejoice about? What should we be glad about? It says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately. So what should we be glad about? We should be glad about our God. Amen. We should rejoice in the Lord our God. You know, we rejoice about so many things. We rejoice of course, about the birth of our babies. We rejoice about birthdays. We rejoice about weddings. We rejoice, you know, about a football game or a basketball game or some other game. There are so many things that we rejoice about, and those are natural things, and those are natural parts of living here on this earth. But, you know, our primary focus above all of these earthly things is God himself. And the Bible tells us that we should rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, for he has given us the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. So he's going to give us the former rain and the latter rain, and he is just going to do so much for us. He is just going to bless us. He is going to cause, you know, the blessings to just shower down upon us. So the former rain, the latter rain, you know, what went before and what is coming after, God is just going to bless us. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Look at verse 24, and the floor shall be full of wheat. So what does this signify? This signifies that prior to God stepping in, things were not going well for the children of Israel. Prior to God stepping in and working on their behalf, there must have been some type of famine. There must have been a situation where they did not have enough. And so God had to step in and send the latter rain. And not only did he send the latter rain, but even some former things that needed to be straightened out, he sent that too. And so when we are walking through a season that seems as if it is dead, it seems that it's dry, it seems empty, it seems as if things are just not going as quickly as we want them to go, I want you to know that in this new year, focus on the fact that God steps in just when we need him. I'll say it one more time. Focus on the fact that God steps in just when we need him. So, in other words, we might be going along minding our own business and wondering when God is going to intercede. Well, you don't have to worry about when he's going to intercede, when he's going to step in and help you, because the Bible clearly shows us that he steps in just when we need him. Just when we think that things are not going to turn around for us, God turns things around for us. Just when we need that latter rain, God causes those showers to pour down upon us and those blessings begin to pour upon us. The Bible says in verse 24, and the floor shall be full of wheat. How can the floors be full of wheat without rainfall? How can the baskets be full unless God caused the weather to be just right, everything to go just right? He made sure that pestilence did not come to ruin the harvest so that they could have something to harvest. I want you to know that it does not matter what you face in this coming year. God is going to work it out so that when the cankerworm comes, when the enemy of your soul comes to try to steal your harvest that is coming, God will step in just in time to make sure that no pestilence touches the blessing that is on its way to you. The blessing that is already coming in your direction, if you would just obey the voice of God, if you would just listen and do what God is telling you to do, and if you would just obey his commandments, the blessings that God has in store for you, no one can hinder them from getting to you. No one can stop them from getting to you. Why? Because when you are obedient to God, when you obey his commandments, you will understand that God can allow overflow. Look at verse 24. It says, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. See, wine represents just that overflow blessing of God. The wine and the oil, the Bible always refers to the anointing flowing from the head and coming down. I want you to know that when you, hallelujah, when you listen to the voice of God, God will allow you to live in the overflow. He will allow you to walk in the overflow. In other words, God will allow you to walk in abundance and have no lack. You see, we have a tendency to want to walk in lack. We want to walk always trying to get from, you know, one penny to the next. You know, most people say $1 to the next, but when you don't even have a dollar, then we have to go down to the penny. Some people live from penny to penny. Well, see, God does not want us to live that way. God wants us to live in overflow. Look at verse 25. It says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." God said that he will restore you. There are many around the country, around the world, the last few years with the economy as it has been, many people have been challenged. You know, some have even been suffering. And I don't know where you come in to this economic situation, but I want you to know that if the enemy really took from you last year, that God is going to restore some things to you this year. I want you to know that the Bible says that God is able to restore. It doesn't say that he can. It says that he will. And so when you walk by faith, you must walk trusting God and understanding that where the enemy tried to hinder your faith and to hinder your walk, God said that he is able to restore. And so he will restore strength unto you. He will restore everything that you need to live a peaceable life. He will restore that emotional stability that you need to make it. I want you to know that God is able to restore you. Don't allow lack, whether it be lack emotionally, lack spiritually, lack financially. I want you to rebuke lack in your life this year. Ask God to help you to understand that if you obey his voice, you too can walk in the overflow. And when I say overflow, meaning that you will not have lack. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that you will have enough to pay your bills. You'll have enough to do the things that you need to do to take care of yourself and your children and your family. You'll have the things that you have need of. You know, and I'm not a prosperity preacher in the sense of name it and claim it, et cetera, et cetera. But I am a prosperity preacher in the sense that I believe the word of God. And if the word of God says that you are to be blessed, then you're going to be blessed. You know, there's no way for me to take away from the word of God. If the Bible says that you are going to be blessed and that he is going to restore unto you some things that were taken from you, then who am I to disagree with the word of God? Who am I to disagree with the Bible when the Bible says that God will restore you? You know, sometimes we misunderstand this word of restoration, and we just automatically assume that God is going to give us back things that caused us to decline in the first place. God is not going to give you back something that harmed you in the first place. You know, on Sunday I talked to my congregation at the prison. Some of you know that I'm a full-time prison chaplain. Currently, I don't know what God will have me doing in the future, but at the moment I am a full-time chaplain. And on Sunday, I spoke to the congregation about getting rid of toxic people and toxic things. In other words, recognizing that when your life has purpose, that you must know yourself well enough to understand when someone in your life needs to move on. In other words, you've got to learn, I believe T.D. Jakes say, the art of goodbye. In other words, you know what your life was before you met this person, and you know what your life is right now since you allowed this person into your life. And so if that particular person is toxic, then it's time to distance yourself from that individual, because that individual is causing havoc in your life. and it's causing you to not obey the voice of God. It's, this person is causing you to not fully surrender your life to God and to not fully do the things that God is calling you to do. And so if you have an individual in your life like this that is toxic, then, of course, if it's a spouse, you can't just get rid of a spouse, but you can pray and ask God to deliver that spouse so that that spouse will no longer be toxic in your life. If it's a friend, then, of course, you can distance yourself from that friend until that friend gets their life together. You know, if it's a thing such as you are so enamored with material things, you have to ask God to deliver you so that you will not be so enamored with material things that you love cars and houses and land more than you love God. Anything that is toxic, dear friend, ask God to remove it out of your life. And, of course, when I say the word toxic, I'm referring to poison. Anything that is poison, anything that brings you down rather than bringing you up, is something that you need to reevaluate and reconsider whether you should have it as a part of your life. Dear friend, your life has purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and you must acknowledge that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And as you acknowledge that, then understand that he wants you to be glad, and he wants you to trust him enough to understand that he will restore the things in your life that need to be restored, and that he will allow you to live in the overflow. Look at verse 25 some more, as we continue in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. It says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." Now listen, I want you to see that he said, "which I sent among you." Now, I've never really dissected this verse as much before, but it says that I sent among you. What does that mean? He named several different types of worms, and then he stated that he was the one who sent them. What does that mean? That means that of the various challenges that we face in life, sometimes God allows those things to happen on purpose. Now, I don't know why God would allow it, but all I know is that this verse makes it seem as if God himself sometimes allows certain difficulties to crop up in our life in order to build character, in order to strengthen us, in order for us to get to the place where we are so strong in the faith that nothing can break us and nothing can shake us. Now, does it take all of that for us to be a strong Christian? Well, I don't know. Everyone is different. Every individual is different. And if God thinks that that's what it takes for you to be strong, well, you know, God's will be done. If all the things that I've gone through, God thought that I needed to go through all of that to get me strong, well, God's will be done. Dear friend, I don't know what you have gone through in your personal life, and I don't know the challenges that you're going to face in the future, but what I do know is that God is already there in your future, that he has a purpose and a plan for your life, and that if you would just put your trust in him, you can understand that this is truly your moment to step out in faith and to understand that God has everything under control. He says he's going to restore some things unto you. He says that he is going to allow you to walk in that overflow. And look at verse 26, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied." Wow. Isn't that a mouthful, dear friends? The Lord said, as he was reminding the children of Israel that he is still God, and reminding us also that he is still God, he says, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. So not only should you eat, but you should be satisfied. You know, I don't know if you've ever gone to a restaurant and you had high hopes of eating at that restaurant. You've heard good things about that restaurant. And then it was not a buffet, and so you had just this one shot at ordering this wonderful meal, and you look at the menu and you study it for a few minutes and you pick this thing that was described so well in and then on the menu, and when it arrives on your table and you take one taste of it, you realize that perhaps you should have taken another choice because that meal is not so good and you still have to pay for it. Now, I don't know, dear friend, if that has ever happened to you, but it has happened to me where I didn't like my plate and I wish I could just have been greedy and eaten off of, you know, my friend's plate, you know, because I just did not like the plate that was set before me. And so in a situation like that, I had to nibble on the plate and just taste just a little bit of it, you know, but I wasn't happy with my food. But when God talks about him, he himself giving us something, it does not say that we're going to eat and still be hungry. What the Bible says in verse 26, it says, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied." So it tells me that if we would just be obedient to God, if we would just listen to what God is saying to us and how he is directing us, whatever we have need of, God is going to make sure that we have enough and that we don't go empty, that we are not in need. Our light bills will be paid, our mortgages will be paid, our car notes will be paid, our children will be fed, they'll have school clothes. You know, we will have a place to live, and, you know, we will have what we need to continue the ministry, the money coming in to be able to print tracts and publish books and different things to continue preaching and teaching around the world. You know, whatever we need to continue doing the ministry, God is going to provide every penny that we need to do it. So you don't have to worry about God providing plenty. Verse 26 says, "And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied." You know, there's nothing like having a good home-cooked meal, and when you eat it, you can lean back on the chair and just feel satisfied. I want you to know, dear friend, that when you seek the face of God and seek him with all your heart and all your mind, I want you to know that you can truly be satisfied in Jesus. You can be truly satisfied in knowing that God hears and he answers your prayer. You can truly lean back and be satisfied in knowing that God is going to carry you through this year. You don't have to worry about a thing. Just put your trust in God, because God is still watching over you. He is still watching over your family, and he is going to help you. The Bible says once again in verse 26, I'm still in Joel chapter 2, verse 26, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God." So who are you going to praise for all your blessings? You're going to praise the Lord your God. And the Bible says, "That had dealt wondrously with you." So even before you see the blessing, praise God in advance, because you know that he is going to deal wondrously with you. "And my people shall never be ashamed." Now, it's not that the children of Israel has never done anything to be ashamed about. It's not that they have never, you know, disgusted God to the point where God was ready to kill all of them off and start over with a new people. It's not that they have never gone after other idols and what have you. They have. But The bottom line is, when you turn your life around, when you say, God, forgive me, God, I'm sorry, I really want to surrender my life to you again, I really want to serve you again, when you are truly repentant and you're truly sorry, God hears your prayers and God responds. And he says that after all of that, he will work it out that you will not have to be ashamed. What you did yesterday is in the past. You will not have to be ashamed. These people who God has gotten angry with over and over and over again, he even called them a stiff-necked people. He called them a stiff-necked people because it doesn't matter how many prophets he sends, it doesn't matter how many miracles he performs in their midst, they were constantly rejecting him, constantly going after other gods, constantly doing the wrong thing, but God still loved them. And I want you to know, dear friend, that God still loves you. If you make a mistake down the road, I hope you do not do that. But if you fall down, dear friend, please get back up. If you start crying, cry for a little while, but dry your eyes and allow God to give you peace. Allow God to give you joy. Because God said to be glad. He said to rejoice. He said to be happy. And I want you to know, dear friend, that when you rejoice in the Lord, you will never regret. You will never regret rejoicing in the Lord. You will never regret trusting God. You will never regret serving God. Why? Because when you put your trust in God, it is the best thing that you could ever do with your life, to put your trust in God. Because God said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at verse 27. It says, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. My people shall never be ashamed. You see, after you look at all of this, you will know without a doubt, if you will just begin to do what God is calling you to do, you will know without a doubt that God is in your midst. You will know without a doubt that he is the Lord God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God that will lead you. He is the person that brought you this far by faith. He brought you this far by faith. Who could have given you the strength to make it this far? Who could have given you the strength to stand up when you felt like falling? Who could have given you the strength when you lost a loved one in the family and you didn't know what to do and you were crying and you just needed someone to comfort you? God was there to comfort you. Dear friend, don't ever give up on God. Don't ever stop believing. Don't ever stop trusting, because your life has purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And he sent his son Jesus Christ to be born in a stable, to die on the cross for you, to be resurrected on the third day just for you. And I want you to know that even now he is praying just for you. And so I want you to be encouraged and to be strengthened and to know how much God loves you, to know how much God cares about you. And dear friend, if you ever need someone to lean on, remember that Jesus said that he is a friend to the friendless. He's a father to the fatherless. He loves the widow. He loves those that are sick and shut in and the prisoners, that he wants to bring the prisoners out of the prison houses. God is a God that will love you and take care of you, and he will always be with you. All you have to do is turn your heart over to him. All you have to do is present your case to him. Let him know that all the burdens that you have been bearing on your own, that you are tired of bearing those burdens alone, and that you are ready to cast all your cares, all your burdens upon him, because he cared for you. Dear friend, God cares about you. He loves you very much. This is your season to be blessed. This is your year to prosper. This is your year to live in the overflow. And I want you to know that as you walk in the overflow, as you walk in the blessings of the Lord, understand that He is already letting the enemy know that he can't touch what's yours. Why? Because God Himself said that He would step in. He would step in, and He would be the one to restore. Dear friend, as we get ready to close another lesson for tonight, I want you to know that God wants you to not be afraid, to not fear. If we go back to the 21st and the 22nd verse, I'm still in Joel chapter 2, the Bible says, fear not, O land, referring to, you know, the land, the people, everything. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. The Lord will do great things. Can I say it one more time to you, dear friend? The Lord will do great things. Do you believe it? Do you know it? Do you understand it? That God wants to do great things in your life this year. God wants to do great things in your life this year. And, you know, I can say it maybe a zillion times, but until you believe it, then, you know, what can we say? What can we do? You've got to believe it for yourself. Unfortunately for Thomas, he did not believe, and Jesus came back just for him and allowed him to touch his hands and touch his side. But, dear friend, don't let the Lord have to do some kind of, you know, miraculous thing just for you. God will do it. Yes, He will. But I want you to know that He honors those who believe Him. And I want to encourage you to take God at His word when He says that He is going to restore some wonderful things in your life. This is your year to be blessed. And I want you to be encouraged in understanding and knowing that God does have a purpose and a plan for your life. As we close with our key verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once again, that was Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Our closing thoughts for today is persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, what are you planning to achieve this year? What are the things that you are contemplating on doing this year? When you think about having a purpose and a plan for your life, you have to think in terms of what are you doing with your life? What are the things that you are going to be most remembered for? When someone is speaking over your coffin that day that all of us must face, what will you be most remembered for? What will they say that you accomplish with your life? When they speak those words over you, will they say that this was a great woman of faith or this was a great man of faith, and that when all odds were against him or her, that you stood your ground and you put your trust in God and you would not falter in your faith? Or will they say, you know, every time a trial came up, he didn't hold on or she didn't hold on, and she kept slipping and sliding and we had to keep praying for her? What will you be remembered most for, dear friend? Let it be that you were remembered for your great faith in God. Let it be that when people remember you, they can truly say that without a doubt, you stood on the word of God and you trusted God and you believed God, because you knew that with God all things are possible. You knew that God would always come through for you. You knew that without a doubt, you could just throw up your hands and praise God, because you knew that your blessing was already on the way. Dear friend, when everyone else around you is negative, I want you to be the one praising Jesus. I want you to be the one clapping your hands and stomping your feet and speaking in tongues and praising God and blessing Him and praising Him for all that He has already done and for all the great things that He's about to do in your life. When everyone else is sad and looking down, I want you to be the one in the midst that is praising God, because God has brought us this far by faith, and we know that we're going to continue on in the power and the might of God's Spirit. Dear friend, continue on. Be blessed. Hold on, because God is making a way for you. This year, God has great plans for you. Your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. And I want you to be encouraged. Dedicate everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will bless you. He will restore you, and He will make a way for you. Bow your head, dear friend, and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We bless you. We lift up your holy name, O God. I thank you for this study on Joel chapter 2. I pray, O God, that you would restore the things that the enemy has taken from your people. I pray that you would help your people to trust you, to walk in the overflow this year. God, not just this year, oh God, but for the rest of their lives, that they would walk in the overflow. I pray for those that have sickness on their bodies, oh God, that you would heal them. I pray for those, oh God, that have been struggling, God, with all kinds of cancer and tumors. God, I rebuke that cancer right now. I rebuke that tumor right now in the name of Jesus. I look forward to hearing the testimonies, oh God, of those that are healed and delivered, oh God, from listening, Lord God, and believing your word. Lord God, we thank you right now, oh God, that you're healing diabetes. Oh God, that you're healing, oh God, arthritis right now, and lupus in the name of Jesus, sickle cell anemia. Oh, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Oh God, if there are lepers listening right now, we rebuke leprosy in the name of Jesus. We rebuke malaria in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I thank you right now that you're healing. Oh God, we rebuke blindness in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you right now for healing, oh God, Brother Lawrence and others, God, that are suffering with blindness in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it right now. God, we command sight to be restored, Father, and we thank you for doing it right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Dear friend, God is truly to be praised. He is wonderful. He is so wonderful. I love him with all my heart, all my soul. And I want to encourage you, dear friend, to truly do your best to keep a smile on your face. I read a quote, I believe, on yesterday that said, "You are not fully dressed until you have put on your smile." Each and every day when you go out to face the world, put a smile on your face, because even if you don't open up your mouth, you are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Put a smile on your face, dear friend, and understand that Jesus loves you very much. He cares about you. He is still Lord, and I want you to know that you just need to understand about how good God is. God bless you, dear friend. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. You're listening to Vision. God bless you as we listen to a song from Second Chance.
Mama, sing something for me now. Do.
When it's strange.
$200 USD you did give me. I'm ballin' for the car, you don't know when you're gonna see me. Mama, when me little bit, man, you give me.
How many of you know that Jesus knows what you're going through? And let's worship the Lord just a little bit more with this other song. God bless you.
I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Let me preach.
Hey. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead, so be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed to be blessed. Too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be blessed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, they say me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the stop start coming. Don't you know God is in?